Hola a todos, hey everyone, welcome, bienvenidos a Mangonada, and I'm one of your hosts, Carolina Rubio,
Vanessa Chavarriaga,
and we're gonna talk all things magic, sports, outdoors. Let's go! Mangonada is exploring and reclaiming culture through outdoor movement, delivering a sweet, salty, spicy artness all in una mordida.
Carolina, ¿qué es Mangonada?
Ush, una mangonada es la cosa más deliciosa. It's the most delicious drink in the world. And when we started talking about doing a podcast, why did we even choose this name, Vanessa?
Well, I think food, you know, food is everything. Yes. For our cultures. Food is everything when we're running. It's a place we like to be, and it's a place we like to connect with folks. And so we wanted to pick a food that was representative of our culture, but also synonymous to what we're trying to do.
Yeah, so a mangonada is this delicious mango-based drink, and it has chamoy, which is this other delicious, sweet, tangy yumminess of like a paste made out of a fruit. And then it has tajin, that a lot of people will know what tajin is, on the top. And then you have delicious slices of fresh mango in the bottom, and it's all slurpy, yummy, como slushy mango.
It's like everything you want on a hot summer day or after a long run where you need like the electrolytes, the salt, the sweet. It's got it all.
Exactly. It's the flavor. Perfect. And you can find it, I guess it was born in Mexico, mm-hmm. No? And you can find it in places in Arizona and in Texas and some places here in New Jersey, like depending on like how deep-rooted the Mexican community is in an area, you can find this delicious drink, which is the first thing I do when I bring people down to the border and to the shelters. Mm. It's La Mangonada is key. Yeah, so our podcast is La Mangonada, and so we'll be exploring and reclaiming culture through the outdoor movement, delivering a sweet, salty, spicy artness all in una mordida.
Yes, exactly.
And so, Vane, what is our goal with con este podcast? Like, what's our goal with it?
I think we're looking to add some flavor into the world, specifically the trail running world, the outdoor sports world. We want to create a space where our voices are heard and celebrated, not just for us, but by us. You know, I think we've both been interviewed for so many different podcasts, yes, which like a lot of well-meaning white folks are creating, which we love them, and there is space for them, but there's also space for us to create our own value systems. You know, I think that's the problem, is I'm so often trying to legitimize our culture and make it worthy in white spaces, and it's like, you know what, like, I don't want their approval. I think we create our own approval, and we just like barge into the door, break down the door, don't take no for an answer. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to do it ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. And I think that some people can get a little bit defensive about this idea of, you know, why can't we just like accept? And I think there's so much history that is not understood by people, and the systems of oppression that you and I and other folks have to live with, right, and navigate. And so I think for us, this, we are able to see all of the connections because we've had to be a chameleon, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need to understand all of these different spaces that we're navigating. So I think that seeing others that look like us, that talk like us, con un acento, that are in the outdoor world, that are doing awesome races, that are like recognized in the world, or when you're skiing, I think it's super important porque people don't realize, I think, especially folks that have more privilege, how interconnected running is with climate justice, right? Interconnected with freedom, interconnected with who has access to trails. Like, why are not more moms, whether white or brown or black or indigenous, like, where are they, right? And it's like, guys, there's so much privilege in order to do this type of sport. And so how can we heal? How can we make sure that those spaces, how do we demand brands and the community to speak up for us? Like, we are in the most hostile environment I've ever seen for immigrants currently. And so, you know, I think for us, it's more important than ever to have a voice and to speak up and to demand that our fellow runners say something about issues. Mm-hmm. It's been so jarring to live in this moment in time and not feel like we are valued or cared for when folks are destroying DEI initiatives left and right. And so I think for us, instead of hiding, we're actually coming out and proudly being like, you know what? We belong here. We've been here. We understand this culture a lot more than you think we do. And guess what? Like, we're essentially really the future. And yeah. So because we are able to navigate these spaces, we know what's missing. We know what needs to be done in order and shifted in order to truly build that loving, belonging, amazing space that the trail community, I think, really is about. Mm-hmm. But they're really missing, you know, and it's not their fault, really. I think it's just, again, privilege and the lack of education, understanding of historical context.
Yeah.
So I'm excited that we're doing this.
I also think that just the tools and the resilience that our communities have built and we have, like immigrant communities, we are capable of changing everything at the flip of a coin. We are capable of picking everything up and starting over whenever we have to. Like, of course we're necessary in this space because the trail space, the outdoor industry is dynamic and it's changing and it's fluctuating. And what better people to shape that landscape than people who have always had to do that? And that's our people. And something else that, I don't know, my like, one of my goals personally, having grown up in the US and had to exist with like both cultures, this like fear of not belonging and having to assimilate in all these ways. That's how I was introduced to the outdoors. You know, like I think in Colombia, like siempre estábamos afuera. Like I was always having fun with my cousins and being outdoors was not like a concept. It was just always part of everything, even the way the houses are built, the outdoors and the indoors are blurred together. But suddenly I immigrate to the US. I'm growing up in Michigan. It's like really cold. My family doesn't know what to do. And I start learning about all these things like trails and trailheads and hiking gear and all of these things that I didn't have access to. And I use this as a blueprint of like, okay, how can I be like them so that I can be outdoors? And I let go of a lot of parts of my culture that are the most beautiful parts. And it took a lot of unlearning and a lot of healing in my 20s to be able to sort of embrace all of that. And my hope for the future is I want folks to know, especially like young immigrants growing up, that you don't have to choose. And there is more than one way to be outdoorsy. There's more than one way to be outside and participate in sports with your family, with your friends. And you don't have to sort of like leave your culture behind in order to belong, because we can just bring our culture along too.
I love that. I love that. And it's so, you know, I think you're right. I hadn't even thought about the blurring of the spaces inside and outside in Colombia. And how, I mean, we're always outside, no?
Right.
Okay. That was just so part of how we were raised. I think what's been lovely for me to experience as a parent is seeing how my children really embrace all of themselves. I struggle a lot more because I, you know, I was expected to be a certain way in law school, and I was expected to be a certain way when I'm in court, and a certain way when I'm, you know, trail running, or I'm expected to be like the stereotypical person and not be so multidimensional, right? And so it's been really beautiful to, I feel like I have been able to be truly myself in the trails, and it's why I feel like I want to bring everybody and anyone. Hmm. Because it really, well, sure, it doesn't, you know, when we look at the races and coverage and like what the brands are showing and all that, it's a different story, as well as when we are out in the trails, because people don't know that trails are accessible and available to them. Mm-hmm. But it's the one place where I feel like I can truly be 100% myself and feel accepted by nature.
Yeah, which is something we all deserve. And I think especially for women of color, a lot of us didn't really experience childhood in the same ways that our counterparts did, but it's like never too late. And I love that when you and I are hanging out on the trails, we are like the silliest people. Like if someone were to walk by and see Bane and Carolina just like goofing off, listening to Karol G, like we're like more dancing than we are running, you know?
That's fair. Well,
and it's something, yeah, exactly. And that's exactly it. Like that's something that everybody deserves to experience, and we're healing while we're doing it. And healing can be this like really fun, beautiful space. It doesn't always have to be like difficult.
100%. I mean, I think that that's where, when we talk about that flow, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in a state of flow where you just accept and let go, that's, I think it's in everything. It's in the very same way that we are saying that we belong in this space and this time where our political views are being censored and we're afraid to travel and we're afraid to do all of these things that generally are so part of who we are and how we experience ourselves, which is through freedom. I think more than ever, we have to truly just unapologetically be our authentic selves mm-hmm. out there. Yeah, so I think in this podcast, you're gonna be able to hear us talk about all the things, but cultura, I think we really want to also give people tools, right? Because I think that's the piece, that's the bridge building piece that we talk about so much. You know, of course, we're gonna dissect things, but also provide people with tools so that they can start making their space more truly, authentically, and intentionally inclusive of our community. Mm-hmm. No? As we observe the outdoor world and also all of the, as we're saying, all of the intersectionality that exists and how we can't claim to be an environmentalist and not address migration. Mm-hmm. You just can't. Right? You cannot miss addressing wars. You cannot miss all of the things that prevent people from enjoying that space. And so I'm excited about being able to sort of bring people into our conversations because I think they're really necessary in the space. And we both bring really valuable insight mm-hmm. into the outdoor world.
Yeah. And we're also going to interview a bunch of other really cool people. And yeah, I think we often run into these amazing folks in our lines of work that we're like, why doesn't anyone know about this story? And we're just going to do something about that and let the world know about these stories because they are so worth telling.
Yeah, there's so many incredible people we've met through trails or en la ciudad. There's incredible stories of grit and power. That belong to be told, right? Como que we should be sharing esas stories, and they're sort of what the world needs for healing is really that hope, mm-hmm. which I think really lives deeply in immigrant stories.
100%.
The resiliency. Todo eso that you were saying before, we've done it before, so we know how to do it.
We'll do it again. Yeah, yep. And I think along with that hope, I've been really focusing on that word this week. For me, hope also involves creating and creativity and art, because I think when we engage this part of our brains and imagine, we can start to see a future that isn't here yet. And I think that's such a necessary part of the resistance.
100%. I mean, so much of the work that we do at Touching Land, and I think the most important tool that I value that is the only tool that can destroy sort of these systems of oppression that we live in, it's really the imagination. Mm-hmm. And I think we're so busy living life, and that colonialism and capitalism took away our ability to imagine what the world could be, right? Yep. And so this is so much why the freedom, right? Because that is where we're able to imagine new possibilities. That is where we also prove to ourselves that, guess what? I can do a 100-mile run. And I'm fine. And I did it flawlessly, right? And so it's this idea of that we use a lot in Touching Land, where we give people, we make something out of clay and then we destroy it. And it's you still have the same tools. You can rebuild. And guess what? You can imagine it and do it twice better than it was before. And so, yeah, I think it's it'll be fun. It'll be exciting. And we're definitely going to talk comida. And we'll have to have a mangonada at some point to share people.
Maybe every episode. It sounds pretty good right now.
I know. It sounds amazing. It's sunny and beautiful here.
I love that. Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit. I want to hear some quick facts about you and your sport. What kind of runner are you? What's your vibe?
It depends. I think I have a very different. I'm a different runner when I'm racing. I'm very methodical. I have a plan. I'm super in tune with my body. It's the one place where I can be in my head without anyone interrupting me. I have two kids and many immigrant people calling me all the time. So it's the only space where I can be for many hours just in my head. And I love that. So I protect that racing as my treasure. So I'm a very different person when I'm racing. When I'm trail running, I just chat and want music and I want to stop and take pictures of every beautiful thing. I mean, It's neon season right now in the East Coast, which means like all these beautiful leaves are coming out. And like, it's my favorite time of the year because it's like baby leaves. And you can find probably 100 pictures of leaves in my phone right now. So that's the type of runner that I am. I'm like a curious, enjoy, distractible runner. How about you, Vani? What type of runner are you?
Yeah, I think same. I think for me, I like to like do really hard running that's like not actual real running. I think like, yeah, it's interesting to sort of create conditions for my own brain to go through hardship that's like not already in my head, because then I can like achieve it and sort of like regulate my nervous system and bring myself back down to earth. But I live in Wyoming in the Tetons, and the mountains here are just like these beautiful granite giants full of like so many things. And my favorite form of movement in them is to like run up the mountains and do this kind of sky running where I like hop on a ridge or yeah, just like a really scenic place. So that's what I like to do. That's like my favorite kind of running where I feel the most alive. But I also love to like run down in the valleys and slow down and look for mushrooms and see how many times I can go swimming in a day. Right now, everything is still like quite snowy, so I'm pretty much running on roads for now, but really looking forward to that like sky running trail season.
I love that. Yeah, for me, the change, dusk and dawn are my favorites because it's when it's quiet. Well, the birds sing right before the sun starts coming up, and there's so much magic in that time. Because everyone is sleeping, but you're up and you're able to see the transition of night into day or day into night. And I think there's something so beautifully ceremonial about it. And it just sort of reminds me of how small I am. And so I love that.
And just for context for everyone else, when we're talking about dusk and dawn, Carolina wakes up at like 4 a.m. to go running with a headlamp for like however long in the cold, whatever rain, snow, whatever it is, and then wakes up her kids, makes them breakfast, gets them off to school, and then does like the rest of her day, which is just like unconceivable in my brain.
It's the best. I mean, I think when you become a mom, you have to make room for what you love. Now the idea of, you know, before I think the idea of waking up so early was crazy. And now it's just like my body just needs it. I need that space to sort of be able to start the day properly and not rushed. I feel like I just need that space that's mine and that it's not everybody else's. Because I think as immigrants, we were taught to be givers and that we're always like in service, right? I mean, I think that is the most, it's like a blessing in some degree, sort of like a little bit of a curse because you don't know boundaries. And so we've had to learn boundaries. We're in the middle of learning boundaries in many ways. But this idea of being able to give myself some space to me first and then to others sets my day and my tone. So that's what's so beautiful about it.
Amazing. And real quick, what is your current trail snack of choice?
Oh my God, I have two. Tengo dos. Uno es colombiano and it's the cuadritos de guava, bocadillos. Mi amigo Juan brings them to me sometimes. Y también Santa Madre gels, cola flavor. So un poquito gringa. Digamos que el gringo version es el cola flavor of the Santa Madre little blocks, gel blocky things, gummies. And el colombiano is the bocadillo. How about you?
Yeah, I've also been vibing on the bocadillos. I'm still kind of in ski season, but I always leave like 5 at the bottom of my backpack. And it's just like this quick hit of sugar that I need so badly. But every time I eat them, I'm like, I really wish I had thought ahead and brought some queso fresco with me too. Because the combination of the guava with the cheese, and also it's cold outside, so it's like, it doesn't get gross or anything. It's just like...
Well, we're going to have to do an episode on Vanessa's story. Van.
my fridge situation in my van. No, it's fine. But yeah, the bocadillos really hit.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love that. We'll have to introduce listeners to our Colombiano snacks and otras cositas como the papita criolla. You know, it's a different type of how do you say papa?
Potato.
A potato. You know, that happens.
It happens.
It happens.
It's an endemic potato to like the cold, tall, high regions of Colombia. And it's like this little tiny yellow potato and it's amazing.
Oh my God, it's so delicious.
So much flavor.
It's absolutely, like, it's like a pop of magic in your mouth. And so I ate a lot of potatoes, and I think we have to introduce people to nuestra papita criolla.
Muchas gracias a todos. Thank you for listening. A shout out to my mom, because I know she's listening. She's our biggest fan. I hope that everybody finds a little slice of themselves in our words and keeps listening. Stay tuned for more.